Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a day after Attorney General Merrick Garland said this.
The law enforcement response to the mass shooting at Robb Elementary was a failure.
A scathing federal report on the Uvalde, Texas school massacre is reportedly followed by a local grand jury considering criminal charges against law enforcement officers for their failed response. Another grand jury has indicted Alec Baldwin for the fatal shooting on his New Mexico movie set in 2021. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The legal question in this case has always been whether or not his actions gave rise to involuntary manslaughter, whether he willfully disregarded serious safety hazards. In this case, the prosecution thinks they have enough to move forward.
President Biden is hoping for a compromise with Congress on immigration.
You know, I think next week we ought to be able to work out something, at least in the Senate. And I'm hopeful it's going to be the bipartisan package the Senate is going to pass, God willing.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Right now it's 20 weeks. There are exceptions. The bill is a public hearing Monday, the same day Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin to promote reproductive rights. The measure needs to be signed by the governor and approved by voters statewide, but Evers is not likely to sign it. Parents could pull their kids out of discussions over gender identity or racism in school under a Republican bill that passed the Wisconsin Assembly yesterday. Democrats like Representative Melissa Ratcliffe say there's more to it than that.
This bill will inflict psychological harm on LGBTQ students and is another salvo in a culture war that tries to turn fear and misunderstanding into political talking points.
Republicans say they're looking out for parents. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. On Monday, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Waukesha County starting a tour advocating for abortion rights. It's believed Harris will be in Big Bend to mark the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade. The White House has made it clear that Harris will speak out against abortion restrictions. Details about the visit aren't yet available. Dangerously cold temperatures return this weekend. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more about warning signs.
As the cold continues to strike, be aware of signs and symptoms of frostbite, which include redness or pain, grayish skin, or numbness. If you have this, do not attempt to rub the area for warmth. This will only make it worse. And when it comes to hypothermia, signs include confusion, exhaustion, shivering, and slurred speech. Wear layers. Make sure clothes aren't too tight or too heavy. And most importantly, limit your time outdoors.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Wattles, WAUK News.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Pack packed their bags for California. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night at Levi's Stadium in the divisional playoffs, kickoff 7:15. San Francisco with a powerful offense. Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander unable to practice but doing all he can to overcome his ankle injury suffered last week.
I was in treatment about 5-6 hours every day, you know, and then at night, more treatments.
College football, the Badgers assistant defensive coach and top recruiter Colin Hitchler leaving Wisconsin. He's been hired by Alabama's new head coach, Kalen DeBoer, to join the Crimson Tide. NBA, the Bucks head to Detroit for a weekend series against the Pistons. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' 40-point loss in Cleveland Wednesday night.
It seemed like we came out in a management-type mode. You know, we came out a little bit slow. And knowing that they're a fast-paced team, they played faster at home. They played better at home. And just, they got right to it.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with some lingering flurries and a low near 5 above, but wind chills 5 to 10 below. Sun returns for tomorrow and a little warmer, highs in the mid-teens, and up to around 20 with sunshine for Sunday. Currently, it's 6.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
What is up, Wisconsin? And welcome to yet another Maggie Dawn show, somehow missing Maggie Dawn. Like a tuna can you open with no tuna inside, like a day without, I don't know, baseball. Is there some phrase like that? I wasn't told until 5 minutes ago that I would have to speak on air. So this is what you get. It's not law school professional. It's not even technically on air professional. It's just what happens when you let the producer run wild until there she is. There's our girl. Hello. Maggie, how are you? Welcome to your show.
Oh, busy, busy day. Thanks for getting her started for me, Anya.
I try.
The blessing of live radio includes that it gets people like me to places on time. So thanks, everybody, for your patience. Lots of fun stuff to talk about, but a few programming notes before we get crack-a-lackin'. If you enjoyed hearing from Professor Kathleen Eden, she's going to be back with us on January 23rd. On January 24th, the very next day, I'm going to be joined by my former colleague and good friend, Joanna Frotchek, who's a lawyer and also an immigrant. And she's going to tell you and me and us a little bit about her journey. But really excited to say that I've got a Civic Media exclusive interview coming up on Monday with outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, who has been the DA in this county since 2006. He's been given some pretty candid interviews on you, so I'm looking forward to that.
And one more time, what day is that?
That is this coming Monday.
All good.
So everybody put that on your calendars, and you're not going to want to miss that. Of course, Civic Media is going to be broadcasting the Packers playoff game coming up. That's going to be interesting because first of all, the Packers' former coach is now the Cowboys coach. So that's an interesting patina on that matchup. You're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be all across the Civic Media radio network. We've got our Kenosha and Racine stations carrying it. If you need to find a place to listen to the game, do not worry. Civic Media has you covered. Just go ahead and download that app. You will find the Packers game there for you. Today, I think we're going to have a really interesting exchange, all of us together now. Because I'd like to talk about Dr. Claudine Gay, the former Harvard University president, who, along with the presidents of three other Ivy League universities, testified before Congress when hearings were commenced and convened to address anti-Semitism on campuses. And I'm not sure, Anya, if you were able to find that sound. She does have it. Let's just take a quick listen. This is Representative Elise Stefanik asking Dr. Gay a pretty particular question. Let's take a listen.
There is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It may be no.
So that's really, in various ways, shapes, and forms, that's what all of the college and university presidents that were testifying before Congress that day said. Interesting little side note on all of this. MIT's president remains in place, which is interesting. I believe the rest of the presidents have resigned or been removed after that testimony. Interesting side, sort of inside baseball, if you are interested in this sort of thing. There has been a flurry of industry gossip amongst public relations consultants and lawyers about who the heck advised these people to answer these questions this way, because that was terrible, right? I mean, give me a call, 844-967-2789, if you want to get in on our discussion today, because I think lots of people are going to have various perspectives on this. And there's a couple of subtopic areas that I want to get into, but it was just fascinating to me as a legal professional when I heard that testimony. I thought, who the heck told them to answer the question like that? Like, that's terrible. Calling for the genocide of any people should violate whatever the heck policy you want to talk about, especially if it's directed at historically oppressed and marginalized groups. Like, that's not good. And it certainly should be possible on a college campus to be able to engage the complicated discussion of the history of the Mideast, of the problematic aspects of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who operates in many ways in an authoritarian type model, who tried to strip Israel's Supreme Court of its oversight powers. We can have that conversation. We can criticize Netanyahu's military response. We can do all of those things. We can talk about whether or not a two-state solution is possible. What does that mean? We can have complicated conversations. In fact, we need to have them, don't we? But being able to have complicated conversations means that you sometimes have to get the simple stuff right. Because if you don't get the simple stuff right, people stop listening. And the simple answer here was that violates Harvard policy to call for the genocide of Jewish people. That's the answer. So I think the failure of those presidents to know in and of themselves to answer the question that way, even if they were advised poorly by their PR experts and their legal experts, they answered the question poorly. Now, of course, these things intersect with free speech rights. Because here in the United States, it's not illegal. And in fact, we protect some of the most abhorrent speech that you can imagine. And so there's a question, are speech codes even appropriate on college campuses? That's a question I'd love to hear people talk about. And so while I don't actually think Dr. Gay's answer to the question is incorrect, right? What she's saying is, if someone just gets up and says that, something that is that disturbing, it likely would violate the policy if it is accompanied by other aggressive actions, a history of hateful behavior and speech, all these sorts of things. In other words, it poses a threat to the academic environment, to the safety of other students. But as a pure matter of First Amendment jurisprudence, right, people can say terrible things, call for the genocide of people. And that's protected speech. Now, universities are, these universities, MIT, Harvard, I think it was Princeton, and who else was there? I mean, I'm forgetting. MIT, Harvard, Princeton, and I think it was Penn. Those are private institutions. Those aren't state universities. So they can make whatever rules they want. It's not the government acting there. which is why they can have a speech code. You won't see similar in most public universities. So, do I think that Dr. Gay's failure to respond to that question in a way that was would resonate appropriately, did that merit her firing or being forced out? I don't know. I don't run a university. I'm not in higher education. So that's not my judgment to make. And I think people can make arguments on either side of that one. But the other thing that I want to talk about, so a question to you all, should there be speech codes on campuses? Right? How does that impact academic freedom? How do we prepare young people to be able to engage with complexity? Frankly, engage with people that say things that they find deeply offensive. And doesn't this sound a lot like the debate that we're having about book bans on the other end of the spectrum, right? So it seems to me that frankly, people on both sides of the political dial seem to be quite situational about when they want to protect speech and when they don't. It seems to me that people on both sides of the spectrum in these questions seem to be pretty selective about exposing young people to challenging and sometimes offensive, upsetting content. So there's a lot here. Should there be speech codes on campuses? One of the things that I wanted to reach was what I think is clearly a pretextual reason, meaning a garbage reason, a reason that sounds good but isn't the real reason, that there was a pretextual reason to forcing Dr. Gay out. And the pretextual reason was that she plagiarized. And I'm going to talk about actually how academics publish, what peer review actually entails in higher education, in part how professors and other university leaders are compensated, how those things figure into all of this. And I'm going to actually get down to the brass tacks of how frequent plagiarism occurs, that plagiarism isn't a point, it's not a narrowly defined set of things, that there's actually sort of a spectrum of plagiarism and academic dishonesty, that, you know, that all allegations of plagiarism are not the same in their seriousness. And that this is, frankly, totally well-known and accepted amongst members of the academy. And so I want to hear from you. Did you attend a university or college that had a plagiarism policy? How was it enforced, if at all? Was it just part of the honor code or code of conduct for the university? Because I just think that this issue has been completely misrepresented in the press. I think the dialogue around this has been woefully inadequate. And to me, at the end of the day, Dr. Gay stands as a premier example of the phenomena that I myself have experienced, that when mistakes are made by women and people of color or LGBTQ people in positions of leadership, authority, and power, those become fatal. When the same or worse conduct or mistakes by old white dudes gets graciousness, understanding, and excuse making. Keep it locked, everybody. Join our conversation, 844-967-2789, here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
And I'm crazy for loving.
The Shaw, WAUK. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Our Wisconsin winter feels like the perfect time for casseroles. And Red Maple Restaurant near Walker's Point recently received King of the Hot Dish Crown.
They had an amazing kind of Asian-inspired, gravy-covered, meatball-heavy casserole, which was my personal favorite, so I was glad to see it win.
Matt Wild with Milwaukee Record visiting Matt and Air on Air, where Greg wants all in on this tasty bake-off.
You got your businesses, and then people can bring their own casserole, so there's like almost like two levels of competition.
I like this.
The Casserole Contest supports the Kinship Food Center. We'll keep you posted on the next one. If music is more your thing, the Rat Pack Tribute Show returns to the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Saturday, January 27th. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. Go ahead, give her a call, 844-967-2789. I'd love to hear your thoughts about how the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and Penn handled their congressional testimony. If you think there should be such a thing as speech codes on university and college campuses, how do we square that with the First Amendment? Want to hear your thoughts if you attended a university that has a plagiarism policy. Most of them do. Any experience with getting it enforced? Many of you may know, if you're a regular listener here on the Maggie Dawn Show, that I have a master's degree in applied economics. Applied economics is basically like mathematical econ. So you learn all the concepts and theories of the fundamental principles of micro and macroeconomics. And then you actually have to learn and demonstrate knowledge and proficiency in the mathematics that proves up the economic theory. So yeah, it's a little weedy. And you have to complete a thesis, a master's thesis, and then defend it. It's like PhD light. It's a prerequisite to going on to get a PhD or a doctor in philosophy. And in fact, my work on my thesis ended up being published. I was a co-author on that work with the professor who helped oversee my thesis and the research project that I based my thesis upon. Pretty unusual to be a master's student and get co-author credit, but it was a wonderful surprise. And I'm very thankful to my thesis advisor, Dr. David Clark at Marquette University, that helped me with that. I say all of that as background to just share, I have some knowledge and firsthand experience with the way academic publications work. So let me explain. Typically, to get your work published, if you are a university professor or someone that is in a tenure track to become a full tenured professor at a university, to do so, you need to publish a lot. And what qualifies something for publication basically is one thing. It has a lot of elements to it, but it's one thing. You are moving an existing theory of your particular specialty forward by showing new and different, typically quantitative analyses that relate to a particular topic. Or you have basically a brand new idea or theory or research body of research that you've conducted that you're sharing, that sort of blockbuster, changing the field in some way or moving it, revolutionizing, moving the field forward. There's an idea of it has to be your new idea, your new way of analyzing, a new application of prior research models. It has to be your ideas. That's the core of what is required in academic publications. So how does that happen? If you think about various specializations, it's like, hasn't everything under the sun been written about Keynesian economics? Turns out not. That's what academics do. They try to push the bounds of their particular specializations. They try to see if theories still hold up. It's a kind of a version of scientific inquiry, if you will. But typically, professors and folks on a tenure track to become professors work with research assistants who are typically graduate level students to conduct new research. And then they have those graduate assistants write up paper drafts that the professors then review and submit to various academic journals. What makes a journal academic? A journal is like a magazine that publishes academic papers. Yes, if you're all yawning, that's what most people would do. And here's what. The vast majority of academic papers published in academic journals don't get read much. There's hundreds and thousands of these that get cranked out every year because you get compensated as a professor and you become a full professor with tenure protections based on your publication volume and the prestige of the journals in which you get to publish your original thinking and research in. Do you see where I'm going with this? So they have research assistants and graduate students typically actually do the work and some of the number crunching and the writing. They then submit these things to these academic journals that review the paper. And they are supposed to be reviewing the paper to make sure that it is indeed original. It's a brand new idea. It's a new analysis. They're moving that particular specialty forward. They're supposed to check the data validity. They're supposed to check it for plagiarism. But who sits on academic journal editorial review boards? Any guesses, right? It's professors, right? Other academics in the specialty. They get compensated to do it. But guess what professors don't want to do? Spend a whole lot of time reading volumes and volumes and volumes of submissions to journals. So who do they give that work to? Guess what? It's their graduate research assistants. Guess what graduate research assistants are doing? A ton of work. They may be teaching courses, grading courses, writing the work for professors, doing the research for professors, and then reviewing the paper submissions that a professor is responsible for because they sit on a journal's submissions committee or their editorial review committee. Research assistants get worked to death. I know I was one. And so what happens is you have people who have not been in that particular field for very long. They're brand new academics in their field. For me, mathematical economics. And it is these newbies that in many circumstances are the ones that are reviewing the journal submissions. Okay? And keep in mind that the incentive structure for folks on tenure track and full professors is publish. You've heard this phrase, publish or perish. This is what it refers to. So you've created an incentive system where people are compensated based on their publications. And that system is fueled and largely the work gets done by very new green graduate students in these various fields. And I'm going to throw this last log on the fire, and then we come back from these important messages. I'll tell you what the implication of all of this is. And then on top of it, take this fact. The number of academic journals in the United States has exploded in the last 5 years. Just exploded. I don't have the statistic at the ready, but it's something like doubled or tripled. So when we come back, I'm going to stitch all of this together. And we're going to talk about then what plagiarism is and the systems that actually promote it, allow it to go unchecked. And then we can talk about and understand selective enforcement, selective punishment for so-called plagiarism. And indeed, that is what happened to Dr. Gay. I am Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. Go ahead and give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more in a moment on this edition of The Maggie Dawn Show.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey, Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. Department of Workforce Development Chief Economist Dennis Winter.
If you add jobs and pay people, they'll consume more, and consumption drives the U.S. economy. So that feed loop, positive feedback loop keeps circling on itself. We're going to continue to see economic gains and workforce gains.
Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate in Wisconsin is a near-record low, 3.3%. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits Big Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Morgan Geyser wants to go home. She's one of the young women involved in the Slender Man case. This week, Geyser's legal team requested permission from a Waukesha County judge to release her from the state psychiatric institution where she's been for 5 years. According to her attorneys, Geyser has been actively addressing her mental health and is no longer considered a threat. At just 12 years old, she and Anissa Wire lured a friend into the woods where they nearly killed her with a knife. Wire was released in 2021. If you have any snow, you should move it quickly. The wind chill will be between 10 and 25 below tonight and into Sunday. Most communities still have warming centers open, giving people a place to stay warm. To locate a warming center near you, dial 211. A heads up that next week's high could reach 40 degrees and rain is predicted. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
The Pack packed their bags for California. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night at Levi's Stadium in the divisional playoffs, kickoff 7:15. San Francisco with a powerful offense. Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander unable to practice but doing all he can to overcome his ankle injury suffered last week.
I was in treatment about 5-6 hours every day, you know, and then at night, more treatments.
College football, the Badgers assistant defensive coach and top recruiter Colin Hitchler leaving Wisconsin. He's been hired by Alabama's new head coach, Kalen DeBoer, to join the Crimson Tide. NBA, the Bucks head to Detroit for a weekend series against the Pistons. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' 40-point loss in Cleveland Wednesday night.
It seemed like we came out in a management type mode. You know, we came out a little bit slow. And knowing that they're a fast-paced team, they played even faster at home. They played better at home and just they got right to it.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with some lingering flurries and a low near 5 above, but wind chills 5 to 10 below. Sun returns for tomorrow and a little warmer, highs in the mid-teens, and up to around 20 with sunshine for Sunday. Currently, it's 6.
What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network locally in Racine on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. 98Q Country in Park Falls and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pregame at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded.
It's time for WAUK Radio's
Friday night Classicgate game of the week. I'm your host, Don Brown, and we welcome you to the Kurt Larson Fieldhouse at Waukesha North High School, where the host nation North Stars will take on conference rivals and crosstown rivals, Catholic Memorial High School, the Crusaders. That is right. Tonight's game is brought to you by Thrivent Financial. Thrivent is growing and seeking financial advisors for a career helping people in your community. Email your contact info to wicareers@thrivent.com. That's wicareers@thrivent.com. We welcome those listeners from the Maggie Dawn Show to tonight's broadcast. If you love competitive high school basketball, we invite you to join us for the rest of the broadcast. Both teams are 6-7. The host nation North Stars are 1-5 in conference, and the visiting Crusaders are 3-3 in conference. So a good matchup. And you know, again, for those of you who aren't familiar with local sports, you know, the Classicgate is arguably the premier conference, athletic conference in the state of Wisconsin. Some would even say in the whole country in many sports, including football and basketball. And so these 6-7 records would probably translate to 10-3, 9-4, 8-5, maybe in other competitive conferences around the metro area and around the state. So it should be a great game. We're really excited to be back after a couple cancellations due to weather. We were really looking forward to hosting the Crusaders of Catholic Memorial last week. They were going to host Kettle Moraine, who's at the top of the Classic Eight. I think they have only one loss all season and one loss in conference, I believe, or maybe undefeated in conference. But in any event, we're glad that CMH is here. That game we missed last Friday is supposed to be rescheduled for a Saturday in February. So if we get our ducks in a row, we may be able to bring that game to you, which I think will be a lot of fun. And speaking of fun, too, tonight is the opening night of the Waukesha Winter Jamboree. That's J-A-N as in Nancy, Bree. And it is Wisconsin's premier winter festival. Opening ceremonies right across the street at Lowell Park. They've got a beer garden, I believe, hosted by Ray's Grain. There's ice sculptures, snow sculptures, a rink for skating, and I believe there might even be some competitive hockey in there. The toboggan run is open. There'll be fireworks later tonight at 8 o'clock, and bonfires there. So it really is a fun way to kick off this 9-day festival that goes from tonight, the 19th of January, through to the 28th of January. So, but speaking of fireworks, we're looking forward to a closely matched game tonight. And joining me, hopefully, for the pregame will be Matt Witkowski, one of the assistants for the junior varsity part of Catholic Memorial. And he is also a Thrivent Financial rep. So we kind of get the best of both worlds here. And hey, I just saw Russ and Jamie Donald and grandparents here to watch. Watch the game. I think they're there's a family connection. Their daughter was a cheerleader here. Here's Jamie. How are you? You bet. Yeah, you want to come on? We're live here on air. No? Okay. Have Braylon call the show tomorrow morning from 7 to 9. We'll talk to her. So for those of you who read the Waukesha Freeman, Jamie and her daughter Braylon were on this morning's cover. They've got the they have Packers snow art, logo art in their front yard. They had a contest among the family members, and they have three children, and I think even the parents also did. There was the G logo icon, if you will, as well as some other, a Packers snowman and some other art, and the Freeman captured it. They really have a lot of fun during the wintertime, and, of course, their front yard is also like the Griswold house on Christmas vacation. They really come out in full force for that. So, yes. Also on my show tomorrow morning, This Week in Waukesha, tune in at 7. We've got Adrian Lopez from Foundation Pros talking about his business, as well as a very thriving trade association for the foundation and home repair industry that that Jamie's involved in. And so really looking forward to that. It's great to see small business doing well, but also joining forces to form meaningful trade associations that can give greater value to the customer base and to their trade. So looking forward to that. But also at 7:30, probably the greatest basketball story here in Waukesha. the high-flying Carroll University Pioneer women's basketball team on a 9-game winning streak. Just broke into the hoops, the D3hoops.com top 25. And so Lindsay Schultz will join me along with her star point guard, Olivia Rangel, who's she's earned quite a few honors this year, this year's season so far. And there's a lot of talk about All-American, too, and it wouldn't surprise me. She's had a heck of a year. I had the honor of broadcasting their amazing upset victory over undefeated ninth-ranked Milliken, who also has the player of the year, Elise Knudsen. And that game, that was an overtime finish. It really was an honor to be a part of that. So both teams are coming out. It looks like it's parents' night, so they'll be honoring the parents here. And I can also be sure to introduce these players, so because I'm sure if there's some grandparents or friends and family at home that can't make it, I'm sure you'd want to hear this. So Jake Knoll with parent Stephen Renee is the first to be honored for the North Stars, and he's got a lovely white carnation for mom. Number one junior Kai Ramirez with Billy and Beth as parents. Next is number two, Jaden Miles, a senior, 6'4 senior with his parents. And the player and the parents walk across all the whole full length of the floor. And then there's number three, Cooper Haas, the senior, 6'4 senior, 5'11 senior with TJ and Mary Beth Haas. Mary Beth also works at the Waukesha High School Library. And I'm missing a name here. It looks like a new addition, so I didn't get that name. It was Ben Durhammer. Aaron Hernandez and his parents. Aaron is number 10, is a senior, 5'7 senior. AJ and Connor Curtis, the brothers, senior and junior respectively, with parents Mike and Diane. And these are three-sport athletes. A.J. was the starting quarterback. Connor was a heck of a tight end who will be taking over quarterback duties next fall as A.J. graduates. And then you'll see them in the spring here on the diamond playing for Coach Don Radomski. So next was Jordan Sayangbong and Aiden Faber-Hernandez with his parents. Then there's Jackson Piatek with his parents, Tom and Kelly. Kelly, a member of the school board. The Waukesha School District school board. And then senior Patrick Still with Joel and Dawn Still. And that's your team. And, you know, it's great that they do this because parents, as we know, sacrifice so much so that their kids can compete in scholastic sports. Represent their families and their schools well. So these rituals are very important. And I believe if I scheduled accordingly, we'll be doing a Waukesha South game when it's parents' night so I can be there with my senior son, and I'm sure it'll be a great matchup. So, and now here's Matt. Here, Matt, come on over here. Rob Ruzick from Waukesha Freeman just came to join us. Here, we're going to put you over here in the hot seat. Here's your microphone. Hey, and a big shout out to Calvin, my producer, filling in tonight for Anastasia. Appreciate all that you do, Calvin. And I am joined by one of the Catholic Memorial assistants, Matt Witkowski. And Matt is also a financial advisor for, did I get that right, for Thrivent Financial?
Yeah, absolutely. Thrivent
Financial.
That's fantastic.
Thank you for your sponsorship. We're glad that you do it. And we're also glad that you're carving out time to support high school sports.
Well, I can't think of a better cause, right? Look at these young athletes really giving it every single day.
Sure, sure. So if we could just talk basketball for a moment, you know, who are your cliques to pick for CMH? I've only seen them once. I saw them beat my son's beloved Black Shirts just about a week ago. So as one of the players waves to you. Yeah. Is that your son?
Or no? You know, these are just, they're all your sons. You know, we believe in a team approach at Catholic Memorial
love
here.
It.
So we win and we take our lumps as a team as well. But we do have some great leadership on the team.
Yeah, I have a very balanced lineup, in my opinion. Like, yep. Everybody can score. They move the ball well.
They play great team defense. Just all the things you want out of a competitive basketball team.
Yeah, great combination of talent. We have shooters, rebounders, just a great overall IQ of basketball, too. And I think what the kids bring every single day is just hard work, right? They want to earn it every single day.
Sure. I love it. So, but who are, you know, who would you say are like the team leaders, if you will?
Yeah, you know, we're led by John Giritz and Sean Ladwig.
Okay.
Right? They're our seniors. They set the tone each and every day in practice and in the game.
Sounds great. And they're both guards, although very tall guards, 6'1 and 6'4.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
They've been growing. They've definitely been growing. Sean especially, you know, you can tell these kids that they play year-round. They just get so, so good. And the muscle, right, the muscle that they put on with all their hard work really adds up and is impressive.
Yeah, I like that. So now switching hats to your professional work, I've learned recently Thrivent is growing in southeastern Wisconsin. And hang on, let me fix my thing here.
Sure.
Read my notes here. They're seeking financial advisors. So if a career with independence, impact, and purpose is important to you, you should explore the Thrivent Financial Advisor opportunity. You'll build your own business by combining your values, drive, and skills to help others thrive financially and live meaningful lives. You'll get unsurpassed support from Thrivent, a Fortune 500 company that helps people follow their hearts and strengthen their finances for more than 100 years. So, again, as I mentioned earlier, to learn more, send your contact info to wicareers@thrivent.com. So tell me what it means to you, Matt.
Yeah, for us, Thrivent is a big family, right? We believe in that Christian servant leadership. We believe in giving back to the community. And through the community, you know, that's where we do our best.
Sure.
Right? That's where we believe that meaning and purpose in a person's life comes in. So, we're always looking for top talent.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That wants to have fun serving the community in a financial way.
Sure. Well, you got 100-year history. And then, you know, initially, I believe the name was originally, it was like Thrivent Financial Lutheran.
Yeah. Great call out. We were over a 100-year-old company. Mm-hmm. And we initially grew through the Lutheran Church.
Right.
But in 2012, kind of a hidden gem came out. We expanded what is known as our common bond to include all Christians.
Sure.
And with that becomes tremendous opportunity. With
including
our
us Catholics.
Including the Catholics as well. Yes.
Yeah. But I'm showing my age here. You know, Florida Orange Juice used to do a commercial, and they used to say it's not just for breakfast anymore. And so that's Thrivent is not just for Lutherans anymore. It's for, just like you said.
That's a great analogy. I love that. Anybody that resonates with the Christian mission, wants to give back to the community, we empower our membership, our product owners, our financial product owners to give back in not only through financial means, but just their time, their talent, and treasure, right?
Sure.
Giving back.
Do you also do business insurance?
We do business insurance, mainly personal lines, investments, and retirement planning is where we really hang our hat. So.
Sounds great. So, if possible, maybe if you have a few minutes after the game, I'd like to talk to you because my small business, one of my vendors just asked if we have a certificate of insurance for my small business, and I don't believe we do. So they'll be here about what Thrivent offers, and in all seriousness. So, but. Obviously, really grateful for your support for WAUK Radio Sports.
What a privilege and honor.
And and for CMH, too, what you're doing for
thank you.
For a Catholic high school that draws from a large area, not just Waukesha, and quite a legacy, too, I might add.
Well, we hope to continue on that tradition of, you know, competitiveness, courage, honor, right? But at the end of the day, sports will end, right?
Sure.
So those lifelong learnings that they have and can carry on and give to the next generation, too, we want to be advocates
of. You're a graduate of Franklin High School, and I imagine you played basketball for Franklin.
Class of 2000, yes.
For the Sabres?
Yes.
So, were you a forward or a guard?
I was a guard.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, never saw a shot I didn't like, so.
Love it.
Yeah.
That makes two of us. So. Now, as you can tell from the hat, I'm a native of Buffalo, New York. And so the question I have for Franklin alum is, when are you guys going to spell your nickname correctly?
Oh, is it?
So we had Sabres traditionally had Canadian owners, and so we had the British alternate spelling, which is S-A-B-R-E-S. So whenever I see Franklin, I say, when are you guys going to spell your nickname right?
So
I love it. Yeah, whenever we see that Sabre emblem, and you know, Catholic Memorial is going up against the Sabres,
that's
always
be a great matchup.
Friendly competition.
You know, I remember it was Bill Young's 500th game. It was a home opener, I believe, or it might have been after, but it was against Franklin.
Sure.
And CMH won in a nail biter.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd been there. I was broadcasting a South game that night, so I wasn't able to make it. But when I saw the results, I was like, wow, that must have been a heck of a game. And credit to CMA, to both of them, to include such a tough team in their non-conference schedule. My heavens.
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, we thrive on competition, right? That's how we get better, both on and off the court, right?
Sure,
so
got
to continue to push yourself, and then good things happen.
Yeah. You know, I think tonight's game is going to be a great matchup. Both teams are 6-7. However, CMH is 3-3 in the toughest conference in the state.
Classic.
North is 1-5, but they lost some. Like, they were toe and toe with KM here when I broadcast the game, and it was just a war of attrition. KM just had a deeper bench, and after a while, it was a really physical game, and North just kind of ran out of resources and gas. But it was a real heck of a battle, and I think they're going to match up really well with you. What's your scouting report on North?
Yeah, I think North, hey, a lot of seniors on the team and some juniors, right, that are really going to chip in along the way.
Yeah.
So when we think of Waukesha North, again, we think of that hard work ethic and the love for the game.
Yeah.
I just love how these kids for Waukesha North come out and just love basketball, win or loss.
And there's a new culture under the new coach, I believe, in his second year, Brandon Redmond. There's a real positive culture here. And again, I think it's a pretty strong lineup. A.J. Curtis provides a lot of leadership, just like he did on the football field as quarterback for North.
Absolutely.
Cooper Haas doesn't score a lot of points, but he does so many other things. Assists, rebounds, great defense, great leadership. And he can score too, but he really is just he plays most of the game, I believe. I love when Aiden Faber-Hernandez comes off the bench.
Tough that guy's player.
The mountain man, you know, he can just.
And he's strong left hand.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, and it's just like, he's what I'd call like part of North's running game that can really do some damage in the paint.
Yeah.
And maybe even draw a few fouls from some keys CMH players. So
that's where he does his best business, right?
When he's
in the paint, keeping that scoreboard moving, either from the foul line or getting rebounds, limited to one and duns, North is going to be tough.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
North is going to be tough at that point.
And you guys have a new coach, Kyle Johnson, in his first year.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle has brought a lot of enthusiasm. Players love him. And love to play for him, right? So the culture from the top down has just been top notch, and one of, hey, we're going to come in every day and we're going to earn this. Nothing is given to us. We got to earn it. So again, building on those, even after the off the court, after we're graduated off the court, we're going to build those good lifelong habits.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Dare I ask, any predictions for tonight's game?
Well, I definitely, being coach of Catholic Memorial, I hope to see a great one.
Okay.
Nail biter. That goes to overtime.
Yeah.
And then let's let chips fall where they may be, right?
Yep.
So it's a great Friday night. This atmosphere that we have here
couldn't
be any better. It's loud.
I know that when this is over, you can go across the street to Jamboree that opens up tonight. There'll be fireworks, and they got the beer garden, and the fireworks should be starting right as the game finishes. So it's just a great place to be in Waukesha tonight.
Oh, fun times.
Here at the Kurt Larson Fieldhouse at Waukesha North, right across the street from Lowell Park where Jamboree opens up. And any final comments about Thrivent, why people should take a closer look?
Yeah, again, we're just in the community. If somebody's looking for financial planning or top-notch service, servant leadership is where we really hang our hat. We're there for our customers day in and day out, and want to bring that workmanlike attitude to their financial plan, right?
Sounds terrific.
And help them. So, yeah, no, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining
today.
Me, man.
Yeah,
best of luck
this
tonight and with the rest
game.
Of the season. Yeah, I can't wait to start. And, hey, we're going to pause now for station identification here on the WAUK High School Sports Radio Network. Calvin, take it away, and we'll be right back with some more.
The Todd Alma Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally
aren't enough to give us pause. Healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Classic 8 Friday night game of the week here on WAUK 101.1 FM, 540 AM, and the Civic Media app here in The Shaw. And we are live and local at the Kurt Larson Fieldhouse at Waukesha North High School, where the host nation North Stars take on crosstown and Classic 8 rivals, the Canisius Crusaders of Catholic Memorial High School. And I just had a great talk with Matt Witkowski, one of the CMH assistants and an advisor for Thrivent Financial, tonight's sponsor. And, we should have a good showdown, a good physical matchup. See, both teams play a very similar style. A lot of great ball distribution, taking up the whole court. A lot of movement of the legs. And just, you know, you're going to see a lot of three-point shots, but you're also going to see some really tough caging underneath the net. So I'm really looking forward to this. It was Parents' Night, so the parents were honored earlier, and that was always fantastic to see. And, quite the celebrities. We've got Kim Peters and his wife, Leanne, helping with the concessions up front. Kim is the oldest son of Alderman Eric Payne and the brother of Alderman Corey Payne. So we have some local royalty here, if you will. CMH alumnus Mayor Sean Riley is across the street, I am sure, enjoying a few cold ones in the Raised Grain Beer Garden for the opening night ceremonies of the Winter Jamboree, Waukesha Winter Jamboree, Wisconsin's premier winter festival. So really, it's neat. There's a lot going on here just in this square footage, this one square block here on what you'd call the north side of Waukesha, Lowell Park, and, of course, the campus of Waukesha North. And I know the in the first, they called the JV2 game, the North Stars were victorious. I believe it was a 10-point victory over the Crusaders. In JV1, the Crusaders got the better of the JV1 North Stars with a convincing double-digit victory. And so, again, we're looking forward to tonight's matchup. You know, you look at the height and the size, and you know, really, they're both evenly matched in terms of height and in terms of senior leadership. I believe, let's see here, CMH has 5 seniors on this squad, and the North Stars have 7. And so, again, yeah, it's a lot of senior leadership. So just, yeah, this should be a fun game. And I asked Matt if I had any bold predictions, and He was actually hoping for an overtime game. And so that's how much, again, you have 2 teams here that are 6-7. However, when you look at the conference record, the Crusaders are 3-3, and the North Stars are 1-5. And, again, I covered a couple North Stars game, and the one they lost to top-ranked in the conference, Kettle Moraine. Kettle Moraine went to state last year, and that was a game that changed leads several times before the wheels had come off for North in the last 5 minutes against a much deeper KM squad. So, again, these are 2 very competitive teams. In other conferences, instead of 6-7, these records would probably translate to maybe 10-3, 9-4, 8-5. So bleachers are starting to fill in more, and we are less than a minute away from the opening announcements, which I would imagine would be a review of the WIAA rules on sportsmanship, our national anthem, and the starting lineup. So, Calvin, if you would, please, let's take a one-minute break here on the WAUK Sports Network, and we'll be right back after a one-minute message.
from our community.
The Todd Almost Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting.